Radioactive.fm, and on the other microphone I have Tony Grasso from CyberTour, and to discuss cyber security this morning. And you're not a woman, but you are on the Wahine special, Tony, I will have you know.
I'm very delighted to be here. It's been a while, and it's me. I'm here.
Back in the hot seat, Tony.
Yes.
So let's begin, speaking of Wahine Toa.
Yep.
Ava Lovelace, the incredible mathematician, one of the biggest contributors to the computing machine, and of course Florence Nightingale. How have these women inspired you historically?
This actually proves the point. So I'm really delighted to be talking on a day like today. So Ada Lovelace was a mathematician in the UK, and she was one of the biggest contributors to computing at the time. And she was a lady, and she is often not given the recognition she deserves, even though there was a computer language named after her in her honour, which I learnt on and lots of other guys learnt on, because she did so much for it.
Is it called Ada?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Ada. It was a real-time language that we learnt. But, you know, it's all about brain power. It's got nothing to do with gender. And I think Florence Nightingale, I think she's amazing because Florence Nightingale had the traditional female role of being a nurse. And these were in the days where the nurses were utterly subservient to the male doctors, and they were the ones cleaning out bedpans. But she was the one that had the observation that prevention is better than cure. And she has turned the health system upside down to what it is today, where we are trying to prevent, you know, disease rather than trying to cure it, you know. And she was, you know, thankfully she got listened to. But again, I don't know if she gets the acknowledgement she deserves. So, you know, men and women, the gender thing is just silly for me, you know. It's what you contribute is what counts.
Have you, you've got a daughter. Is she interested in technology or computing? Have you enforced that into her?
So I'll rephrase it to what I originally said, which was she's got no interest whatsoever other than from the social media side. And, you know, both of her parents, me and her mum, Carol, you know, Carol, my wife's a scientist. I'm obviously in computing, and Eleanor's still trying to find her way. And we try to encourage her to do these kinds of things. So it's, you know, definitely from the home, and she just doesn't care. So that's cool. But equally, my son doesn't care either, right? And he wants to get into politics and having arguments with people about things. So, you know, it definitely ought to be motivated from the home.
Well, yeah, some of my my cousins are learning to code at age 8, and then you've got that big gap. So when I was at high school, we learnt to touch type, but we didn't learn anything, which was pretty old school. We learnt a lot about
home technology.
It's great
if you want to be a secretary, right?
Exactly. We learned how to touch type. I've still got that skill.
Do you?
Yeah. So maybe it was worth something.
But that's interesting. Sorry, I just cut you off. But that was interesting because, like, Eleanor, at her school, two schools she's been to.
Who is your daughter?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, well done. Eleanor, who's my daughter, is at two girls' schools, which is, you know, Karen and I's choice to have an all-girls school. And she has the option to do cooking. I think they try and wrap it into something else, but it's effectively cooking.
Food technology.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
Home economics.
Yeah, home economics, I think that's what it is. So she's got that option, but she doesn't have the option to do technology or engineering or woodworking or something else, right? So we are making sure that at the school level, we're giving that signal about what females should do. And at my son's school, who's an all-boys school, they don't teach them cooking either. Most of the world chefs are men, I'd like to point out, but they're not taught cooking or home, you know, whatever it is. But he's allowed to do technology, which he's chosen not to do, by the way.
So the dominant structures are, again, keeping women out.
Yeah, it's more that the signals we get, I mean, the biggest signals you get, you know, I'm talking as a parent, not a cyber tower. As a parent, the biggest signals are the ones you get from home, right? No matter what your impediments are around you, it should be your parents that give you that strong signal to what you can and can't do. You know, my mum, God bless her, I hope she's listening, was born before World War II, was brought up on a small island, but she was utterly forward thinking. She believed in women were as equal as men, and that we were no better than anyone else, right? And you treat everybody with respect and all this kind of great signals from somebody who is pre-war, right? This is the kind of stuff that I think as parents we ought to be giving our kids. And then maybe the structure above us will change and become more modernised, because I think engineering should be available to everyone, regardless of gender.
When you began computing about 30 years ago, what did the gender balance look like in the lecture theatre?
So it was awful. So I thought, oh, it'd be great because I'll meet girls and things at university. And I turned up to my lecture hall. This is in the UK, of course. And there was 160 people, I think, in the first year, something around those lines. And there was about four women. And they were all... They were all older ladies who'd obviously, like, they've had families or they were still married or been divorced and then were trying to go back and sort of re-educate themselves. And that was it. Pickings were slim.
And what do you think it's like now?
I don't know if it's changed much, has it? I don't think so. I mean, I hang out at Victoria University, you know, I'm a research fellow there and I'm in and out of the computing block and in engineering, and I mainly see guys. I mean, that's not a fair comparison, of course.
So if young women aren't even getting this introduction within high school, then how are they expected to jump in at tertiary level?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because, again, if it's not driven by home either, right, they may not think of it as a career, right? And there's also, you know, as I'm finding out with Eleanor, there are things about the female psyche that I don't necessarily appreciate, but they feel... if it's male-dominated, that they don't want to be a part, you know, it's quite difficult for them to be a part of that, right, of that group. And it's a real shame. I don't want to, like, have positive discrimination either, because discrimination is bad, but they ought to be encouraged to get in there.
There is a lot of good things being done as well within the STEM areas as well with women. Should say. Let's digress. Spearfishing and Fancy Bear, Russia's military intelligence and think tanks. Microsoft said it executed a court order giving it control of six websites created by a group known as Fancy Bear, which we know links back to Russian military intelligence unit. Cybersecurity firms have unveiled this. What does this mean?
Firstly, so this is the GRU, which is all the rage at the moment. So if you are across what went on in the UK, the GRU were also responsible for poisoning an ex-KGB double agent in Salisbury.
Sergei Skripal.
Yes, probably. yes, and his daughter. So the GRU, they're a very aggressive group. First thing to point out, I think, is the name of the group being Fancy Bear is pretty naughty, because Bear is the icon of Russia, so you kind of give away where you're from. But all it means is that, just like Jacinda said, is that Russia and other foreign agencies are very keen to find out what's going on in other countries, right? They are everywhere doing this stuff, and there's counter stuff being done as well. So what it means is they got caught, and that the way to mitigate this is to reveal the way that they did things, right? But they'll be doing that to our capabilities as well. So, you know, as a country, we always repeat on this show, is that you do need to think about your own security, right? Because these guys are active. Even if they're not attacking you personally, they may use your network to attack others, right?
I should confirm that was the National Democratic Committee in the US as well, where those were found involving in the ahead of the November elections. You've also published an article on LinkedIn, which is very fascinating, Tony, talking about the dark web. Your guys have plunged further into the whole thing, and you've uncovered that there's New Zealand data that is being sold for about $4.
Yes, that's all you're worth.
So we're talking passports here, we're talking licenses, we're talking profiles.
Yeah, so what the $4 was about was personal information. So your name, your first name, last name, your date of birth, and your address probably is worth about $4 to somebody, right?
This website.
Yeah, on this. Yeah, it could be worth more on other. Well, so the website was actually this is all part of the dark web. So you could probably shop around, get it cheaper. It could be more expensive. It's just like the usual, like anything else, right? But you could buy passports, and you use that information to help populate those passports, right? And so now you're starting to take over somebody's identity, right? the amazing thing is that it is just a massive shopping ground of real information about real people to create fake IDs, fake identities, fake passports, and it's lots of money. So even though if you've been infected and you may not think there's anything wrong with your systems, they're pumping out this information, right? And it's being sold, and you're facilitating this for a start. And secondly, the data that you're meant to have kept private is now up for sale.
How can they access this kind of information?
So you know, so much has changed in the last 25 years when it comes to malware. It used to be 25 years ago, nerds like me would do stuff to just to make the machine fall over and maybe cause a prank or something. These days, it's big business. And they will infect networks, individuals' machines, and they'll just pull out this information. Because remember that humans are intelligent but slow, computers are dumb but fast, and computers can be programmed to process this data and pull out the good stuff and get rid of the bad, you know, the stuff that's not important. So they're just sucking out all this data and they're filling out all the good stuff and then they're selling it, flicking it on. It's the, you know, it's the way that it goes.
Automating victims.
Yeah, it really is. It's industrialized, and that's the difference between where it used to be at Nerdsville. Nerdsville. It's now gone into mass production, and it's just a production line of crime, pretty much. And it's our information and the stuff that we're holding that's being pumped out and being used.
You've actually put a photo on your LinkedIn as well. Of a passport from the UK that somebody, it looks very legitimate, and there's blank spaces for people just to pop the photo in and the details.
Yeah.
It looks quite legitimate. United Kingdom. Yeah,
it's a legit passport. I put that in because we had a client who was about to go. This is a true story, folks. He was about to go through a multi-million-dollar deal. And part of the validity, so these were from guys from other countries who were saying we've got this thing that we want to sell, and this guy was in the middle of putting this money across, and I'm not joking, it was in the tens of millions. And part of the way they proved they were who they said they were was producing passports that they had said they'd scanned in and sent them over the email, right? And thankfully, the lawyer involved knew me, and he put them onto us and said, could you just check out? This is legit. And sure enough, you start looking in the dark web. We're finding their signatures are not the same. We're finding information on the dark web. It's all been faked. But to us, particularly if we want this to believe this, it looks real. When you get it in an email, it looks real. It's not.
So he could have wasted.
It happens. It happens more often than we care to believe.
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yep. And it was a
because
big,
he believed that the passports were scanned, were genuine.
Genuine
identities of the people he was communicating with.
Yeah. That's crazy. Honest to God. Yeah.
You're breaking the airwaves right now, Tony.
I don't know. Were people turning it off or they're turning it up?
I'm pretty sure they're turning it up.
It's true. This is true. But let's not forget, people do this on the dating level. And now you've got me talking. It's true.
Catfishing 101.
Yeah. Well, they do. They take photographs of models and things. They call it, that's what people think is who they're talking to, but it's not, you know, and this is just the other end of the spectrum.
There was a recent sort of study published by the Microsoft Asia Digital Transformation Study, that's what it's called, and business leaders in Asia Pacific are showing urgency in embracing the fourth industrial revolution. 80% of them believe that they need to transform to a digital business to enable future growth, and yet only 29% said that they have a full digital strategy in place.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, computers are there to facilitate our work, but unless you're thinking about it and putting a plan together, you're kind of, it's the last thing you deal with.
Do you work on digital strategies quite a lot?
Yeah, I do. I do. But the funny thing is that it's very interesting, that article is absolutely correct. And from what I've seen is I get called in at the last minute because the current system is not working and it's falling over. It's covered with ransomware. I've got a client at the moment, their entire systems are covered with ransomware.
Infections.
And they now need a strategy, and it's going to cost them a lot more to put it all right and get that strategy together, because, you know, they were just doing their business. And this is the hard bit I think, is we get so involved in just doing our business, we don't think about the digital technology underneath.
Yeah. Oh. Also, I believe that that article as well did show that a lot of people believe that cybersecurity was more of a risk to them, and people are now starting to acknowledge it. But I'm not sure whether or not how many of those people would like to enact on that as well. Yeah. I guess that that doesn't necessarily translate the same.
The thing about security, it doesn't have to stop your business. If you get the right advice, and I do keep coming back to this, if you're getting the right advice and the right people, not vendors, right, this security can be a very simple part of the process, and it doesn't have to cost you lots, right? It's not wise to ignore it and then try and deal with it, right? I'll come back to what we where we came in, which is about about Florence Nightingale. Prevention is better than cure. And that is absolutely true in the computing world as well. Plan, put some things in. It's a damn sight cheaper than trying to fix it when it goes pear-shaped.
Protecting the disease of the computer before it spreads.
Protecting the computer. Yeah, that's right. No, it's true. I mean, it's the analogy is exactly the same.
Hey, Tony, thank you.
All right. It's good to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you back in the hot seat. Women's issues and cybersecurity 101.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sure. Cheers. See you again.